How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 158 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com, log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Tonight, man, this was a bad loss for the Thunder. I know they didn't get blown out or anything, but this was a bad loss. They played some awful defense to Portland, ended up falling 126-121. That's four in a row now. They're 35-29 on the season. Westbrook had a career-high 58 points. He was incredible early. He started the game 15-20 from the field, 6-7 from mid-range. 9 assists, 3 rebounds in the game. He finished 21 of 39 shooting, which is, you know, still a really nice game. 58 points on 39 shots. Nice game is a weird way to put that, but he obviously played a great offensive game. Oladipo returned, 16 points in 25 minutes, 4 of 5 from 3. But the defense was so bad. Like, one of the worst defensive performances of the year. They've got a 115 defensive rating over the last 4 games now. All losses during this 4-game losing streak. 115 defensive rating, just to put it in perspective, that's 115 points allowed per 100 possessions, which would be by far the worst defensive efficiency in the entire league if it belonged to a team for a full season. So just to put that in perspective, that is really, really bad. They've been playing some awful defense. Portland was 55% from the field. They were 48% from three. They took 27 free throws. Lillard killed him in the third quarter. McCollum killed him for parts. Nurkic killed him for parts, even though he didn't put up a huge line. The defense was just bad all around. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Just an update, because we're getting near the end of the season now. And this is really, I mean, you know, it matters all year, but this is really starting to matter. So Thunder are 35-29 right now. They're in the 7th spot. They're still totally in contention for the 6th seed. They came into the night tied in the loss column with Memphis for the 6th seed. Now they're a full game back. They're a game back in the loss column with Memphis, who's 36-28. The 4th seed is, the dreams of that are gone. There are 18 games left. They're back 5 games of Utah. They're behind 3 teams, Utah, the Clippers, and Memphis, in order to jump up to that 4th seed. That's just not going to happen. They're going to start the road. They're going to start on the road to start the playoffs. That's going to be for sure. They're 4 back in the loss column of the Clippers for the 5-2. 5 back of Utah, 4 back of the Clippers, 1 back of Memphis. That's all in the loss column. And you know what? If you're looking at the standings for MVP purposes, because whether it should or shouldn't, and you can argue whether it should or shouldn't with many of the voters, wins and losses makes a huge difference when it's two teams who are separated by a bunch of them in the standings. Right now, the Thunder are 9 back of Houston in the Western Conference standings. And if Houston goes on and they win 58 games and the Thunder end up being 13 games worse than them, that's going to end up making a big difference when it comes to the vote, at least for a decent amount of the voters. Certainly not for every voter, but at least for a decent amount of the voters, and very possibly enough to swing it in Harden's direction when it comes to the final vote. But let's talk about tonight's game, because there's a lot to talk about. It was not a strong performance from the Thunder. Let's answer some Twitter questions. First one from Todd Little, who Todd's getting a little aggressive, but we'll talk about it. What in the absolute? I'm going to read it in a more evil voice. Just a more evil. Why did I say evil? I don't know. I record these things so late and I say weird things. All right. I'm going to read this in a more aggressive voice. What in the absolute hell is Billy Donovan doing with these lineups? Taj, Domas, Dre, Abrinas, Samaje, down 12, and that's the lineup? That's my, like, complaining voice. How'd we do with that? That was a weird lineup. I'll give Todd that. It was weird. Second he ran out, that was the start of the fourth quarter. Billy ended up playing that lineup. They were down 99-92 at the end of the third quarter, and Billy came out with that lineup. And why is that lineup weird? There's no Russell Westbrook. There's no Victor Oladipo, who was healthy and returned, like I said earlier in the show. And there was no Enes Kanter. That was an odd thing. Now, some of that decision was made by the fact that Oladipo was playing with a minutes restriction. They wanted to keep him at about 25 minutes. Now, Donovan said before the game they were going to see how he feels and go with that. In the middle of the game, the Thunder said, or maybe around this time in the fourth quarter, the Thunder said, well, they're trying to keep him 24 to 26 minutes. After the game, Donovan said he wanted to keep it around 25. So I'm not sure if that changed in the middle of the game. Oladipo said he felt good after the game. He said it was great to be out there. He said he was fine after the game and all that stuff. But I don't know if something changed or Donovan just misspoke before the game. But they said after the game they wanted to keep him at 20, around 25, and he played 25 minutes. So it's hard to stagger Westbrook and Oladipo if you're going to start Oladipo. And you're only going to play him in those 25 minutes or so, and you want to get him minutes next to Westbrook, spot up shooting and all that kind of stuff, and still be able to stagger them so one is always on the floor when the other one isn't. So I understand that. My guess as to why Kanter wasn't on the floor, and unfortunately I was not able to ask Billy about this lineup after the game. The game ended late. Ended at like 9:40-something, and I have a 10:30 deadline, and I'm writing. And I unfortunately... When you're writing these gamers and you have to put in 700 words with quotes and you're running back and forth from the scrum to your computer so you can transcribe it and you got to write during the game and all that, and it's a close game too, so it's hard to get the writing done. It's just difficult to fit the nuances of fourth quarter lineups unless it's something that really swings it. It's difficult to ask that question when you're running back and forth to write and all that kind of stuff. So I wasn't able to ask Billy about it. Nobody asked Billy about that, so I don't know for sure what Billy's logic was. It's something that I would be happy and probably will ask in practice on Wednesday. When I show up to practice on Wednesday, I'll probably ask him about why he was playing that lineup, because I am curious to know. Kanter was one of the culprits on defense in this game, and I know he's never a defender. But this game, I thought he was real poor. Like, when he was defending, like, Myers Leonard, they weren't guarding Myers Leonard on the perimeter. That was a weird thing. Now, it didn't kill him from a points perspective or anything like that, but it lent to the mentality of the way that they were playing in this game. There was a point where Myers Leonard had the ball at the top of the key, wide open from three, and Myers Leonard is a capable three-point shooter. When he's wide open with the ball, Myers Leonard will make a three. He's what? 37% career shooter from 3 points. So he can shoot, not just for a big, but period. He can shoot from three. Myers Leonard standing out there with the ball. Russell Westbrook goes to close out. You think Russell Westbrook's going to close out on him because nobody's guarding him, and instead he just changes his path and goes to Lillard. He's wide open. Leonard puts up the three. Doesn't make it. Possession or two later. Now, the reason he's open is because Kanter is still just staying in the paint no matter what, guarding no one. He's not guarding, shading over for help. He's not theoretically protecting the rim because someone's penetrating. He's guarding no one. Couple possessions later, Leonard's out there on the perimeter again. Nobody's there. Nobody gets to him when he puts up a shot. He makes that one. Couple possessions later, same thing, but he ends up missing. Those all could have been makes. And I think Kanter, from a team defense perspective, from a guarding your man perspective, he really struggled. And it could have been just a Kanter is hurting them on defense and pull him. It could have been a Donovan wanted to kind of give Enes a little bit of a nudge, like a, I know you're not playing well on defense in this game, and you got to pick up your defense in order to stay on the floor. Like more of a mental note type of thing, which I think that's a possibility too. But that's more my speculation. That lineup didn't get killed, is the thing. They got outscored. I think they were down 9 when Billy ended up making subs and taking guys out. I think they were down 9, and they were down 7 when Billy put him out at the start of the fourth. So it's not like it got absolutely destroyed. It was like 7-5 or something like that. But it was weird, and it could have been worse. That being said, that defense all night was bad. Next question from Jeremy Barden. Will the Thunder win a game this month? Yes. From Trevo, will the Thunder ever win a game again? Yes. From Chris Deason, why is the defense so bad? Well, some of it was that Kanter stuff I was talking about. Some of it is Adams just not necessarily playing like he's capable of doing. And that's something that I'm going to address with this next question. I'll talk a little more about Adams in particular because he struggled of late, no question, on both sides of the floor. Again, he struggled again in this Portland game. Only put up one shot in 28 minutes and wasn't boarding, and I didn't think did a great job boxing out guys on the offensive boards. Portland got a bunch of offensive boards, especially in the first like 2.5 quarters of the game. So there are a few things that I've noticed. First off, I think their communication when guys come around screens has been pretty bad. I don't know why they've just lost that, but it seems like they kind of have. I think their ability to close out on guys on the perimeter has been pretty bad as well. You know, one of the biggest problem, in my opinion, with Russell Westbrook's defense, and this is not the last four games, this is just Russell Westbrook as a player. The biggest problem is, we all know Russell Westbrook, when he's going all out, can be a capable defensive player because of his physical skill set, because he's such an athlete, and he's long, and he's strong, and he's fast, and he's quick, and he's just, you know, he's everything. But off the ball, when he makes a proper rotation on the first rotation, he tends to keep going. But when he misses that rotation, he goes to the wrong place. Maybe he's not paying attention, and he just kind of ends up not rotating when he's supposed to, and ends up on the wrong man, whatever it is. He just kind of stops. And I think Westbrook has had a couple of those possessions where he goes and closes out on the wrong guy, and then he's just kind of caught in no man's land. Maybe that's because he's been doing a lot offensively. On the road, they've been a different defensive team and offensive team than they've been at home. Tonight, obviously, was home, and the offensive issues looked a lot better. The defensive issues, they did not. Some of the turnovers have hurt them as well. They turned it over a lot in these last few games, and they've just struggled to match up sometimes. The on-ball defense has been down. Like, even Andre Robertson, and that's just like a sticking with your man type of thing. Like, even Andre Robertson has had times where he's been blown by, whether it was Seth Curry or whomever else, and he's, in my opinion, I think he's had a first-team all-defense caliber season. I think you can argue he's been the best guy in the league at defending ones and twos. I think you can make that argument. And I think you can put him first-team all-defense as a guard. I think he's really been that good. But the last couple of games, I think he's been, it's not like he's been terrible, because Andre Robertson is not going to be terrible on defense. But he's been below the standards that he's set for himself over the first, 60 or so games of the year. And off the ball, they're getting beat. Like, Billy Donovan was playing Samaje Christen for defensive reasons. Now, Samaje is much better on the ball than he is off the ball. But, like, there are plays where Samaje is guarding a guy in the corner, and he sees that, a guard is about to penetrate, and so he takes a step in towards the middle and loses sight of his man, loses track of his man, and then got beat on a back cut for a wide-open dunk. Like, those sorts of plays, if you're in there for defense, those are the sorts of plays that they can't necessarily give up. And they've been giving them up the last four games. They're down to 12th in points allowed per possession right now, which is a problem for a team that's below average offense in the league. They've been winning games because of defense. They've been winning games because they've been tight and winning them at the end. And if they're going to give up all these points and all these efficient looks, if they're going to give up all these looks at the rim like they've been giving up, that's a problem. I mean, they give up a lot of shots at the rim already. It's something I've written about a lot. Kind of the anomaly of their defense is that they give up a lot of shots at the rim. But they've been above league average defense this year. They're giving up a lot of shots at the rim, though, which is something you don't often see. Sometimes you do. Utah gives up an above average amount of shots at the rim, but they got Rudy Gobert. But when Steven Adams isn't necessarily defending the rim at an absolutely fantastic level, and you're giving up a lot of shots at the rim, uh-oh. Next question. Because this is relevant, from Ron Wright. Are opposing teams being more intentional about pulling Adams out of the lane on D, e.g. Dirk, Myers-Leonard, and so on, or is it just a tough spell? Well, I think part of it, honestly, is that Kanter is back now, which means that Adams is having to play more four. I know when Kanter and Adams play together, Adams and Kanter, people think that Kanter is the four and Adams is the five because that's the way it is on offense. Adams rolls, Kanter pops, or whatever it is, like that's the way it works offensively. But defensively, it's the other way around. Adams is usually guarding fours. And Portland is going small a decent amount when Donovan does that. Or the other way around, Donovan is using that lineup against Portland smalls when they play Portland for half of these four games. So Adams is ending up, he's guarding Leonard, who's a stretch five. He's guarding, sometimes Al-Farouq Aminu when they go small and they put Aminu at the four. And Aminu is not a great shooter. But he had a really good shooting season last year, and he's capable of hitting a three if he's open. You got to guard him out there, and Adams is going to do that. Dirk, when they go with that small lineup, Dirk at the five, they're pulling him out. It has something to do with matchups to a degree. Not every team is necessarily capable of doing that. And Dirk is obviously an exception. Like, look at what Dirk did tonight. Got the 30,000 points at 25 in the first half. Like, Dirk can still ball. Dirk's issue was health, but Dirk looks healthy now, and he can still play. Like, when Dirk is away from the rim, that's the best shooting seven-footer, unless Kevin Durant is a seven-footer, that's the best shooting seven-footer ever. You gotta get out there to guard him. You gotta. And Adams, I guess, does it to such an extreme level. And when Adams is away from the rim, keep in mind, they give up. Remember this. They, a higher percentage of the field goals allowed for them come at the rim than any other team in the league. They allow 30-something, about a third of their field goals allowed come at the rim. That's more than any other team in the league. And they've been leading the league in that category all year. It's not like the last four games propped them up from 7-1. They've been leading the league in that all year. It's been one of their defensive flaws. It's been one of the reasons why, even though they've pretty much been on the fringe of top 10 in that like 8-11 range, 7-11 range in points allowed per possession, even though they've been in there, they've been prone to these games where they give up a ton of points and they have these really bad defensive games, you know, whether it's Chicago or whatever it is, they have these games where they give up a lot of points, and it's because when they're not doing a good job stopping those rim shots, they get killed because that's the most efficient shot in the game. They're giving up layups. They're giving up a lot of layups. And when Adams is away from the rim, it's tough. Now, he's looked off, too. He just looks off. I don't know what it is. He seems to be fine physically. To me, it seems like just a spell, just a slump. You know, he's played a lot of minutes this season compared to what he's done previously in his career. Maybe he's a little tired. That's a plausible scenario. But it just looks like a really bad slump. It's on both sides of the floor. His energy is just kind of down. It's kind of down. He's getting hit on the boards a little bit more than he does before. He's not coming over to help as quickly. He's not protecting the rim quite as well. And he's their second best player. Like, Steven Adams is their second best player. And he is without a doubt their second most important player. Remember when they lost him, what happened to the defense? It got wrecked. When they lost him, when he had that concussion in Sacramento, and the Golden State and the Clippers just destroyed them. Remember, even in the preseason, remember they lost Adams, and everyone freaked out about how, oh no, look at OKC's defense. They're giving up 140 points to Spanish teams. They can't defend. People were saying this team's not even going to make the playoffs. And the reason why I thought that was silly at the time, and the reason why it was silly in retrospect, is because Steven Adams is by far the most important defensive player on this team. And right now, Steven Adams is there physically. But it's not the same Steven Adams that we saw for the first like 58, 57 games of the year. It's just not that guy. Now, I'm pretty confident that guy will come back, and I'm pretty confident this is just a slump. Because I think he's really good, and he's really smart, and he works this stuff out. Steven Adams, I think there's a good argument Steven Adams is the highest basketball IQ of any player on that team. He's great at talking about basketball X's nose. He's great at executing basketball X's nose. He's so smart with that stuff. He's going to figure this out. I don't doubt that. Maybe another type of player on the team. Like, I can think of other players on the team who maybe they go through something like this and maybe spirals a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen with Steven Adams. I think he's going to recover this. I don't know when. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I do think it'll happen. But defensively, it's been a problem for them. Offensively, they can get away with it when Adams is putting up one shot and he's not putting up anything in volume. But defensively, they can't. They need Steven Adams to be one of the best defensive players in the NBA. Not merely an above-average defensive player. They need him to be one of the best defensive players in the NBA. Like he's been for most of the season. I don't think he's been an all-defense caliber guy. But he's been a very good defender. And he's had a very good defensive season. And the Thunder need that out of him in order to be a capable defense. In the last four games, that just hasn't been the case. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @FredKatz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog there. Follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow. They play San Antonio at home on Thursday night. So they've lost four straight games to four non-playoff teams. That's two to Portland, one to Dallas, one to Phoenix. Now they got San Antonio and they got Utah. They got to be happy that those are at home at least, but those are obviously incredibly tough games. They got Kawhi Leonard coming off one of the best finishes to a game you'll ever see after what he did in Houston, which was just absolutely insane. And what Kawhi Leonard is doing right now is unbelievable. Like, Kawhi Leonard's averaging 26 points, and he's going to come damn close to 50-40-90, and he's the two-time reigning defensive player of the year, and he's the best defensive player in the NBA. No one has ever done this. No one has ever done what he's doing this year. I know people throw out Russell Westbrook's triple-double, say no one's ever done that because those are select stats. Well, these are select stats too. No one has ever averaged 26 a game while being almost 50-40-90 and being the best defensive player in the NBA. No one's done that. And he's probably not even going to be top three for MVP. I think I would put him top three for MVP. Now, you know, you got 20 games left, that could change. But I think if the season ended today, I think I'd have him top three MVP. He is just crazy. He's absolutely unbelievable. I always get excited to watch him play in person because watching him defensively is just a treat. It's amazing how incredible of a player that he has become. He's a top five player in the NBA in my mind, and there's no doubt about that. But they got San Antonio tomorrow night. I will be with you for the podcast tomorrow morning previewing that. May or may not have a guest, I'm not sure. But until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.